Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's continue from where we left off. We are at the top of page 235. And we are speaking about the verses from 16 to 33. It states here, and mention the book, the Quran, that is, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention about the story of Maryam, when she withdrew in seclusion from her family to a place facing east. This is the incident regarding the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which has been mentioned after Yahya alayhi salam, which we have completed last week. And it speaks about the time when Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel, was sent to give the glad tidings to Maryam alayhi salam, and also to breathe the breath of life into her, that is the soul of who? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. It says here that she withdrew herself in seclusion from her family to a place facing east. The Quran says, Makanan Sharqiyya, facing east. What is that eastern place? We will see in the explanation of this incident where a room was built for her close to Masjid al-Aqsa, where she stayed. So the eastern direction which she secluded herself in was the eastern portion of the room, and not leaving the room to go into another area facing east. Okay? She placed a screen to screen herself from them so no one could see her. Then we sent to her our ruh, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and he appeared before her in the form of a man in all respects. Meaning that it was not like half man or half angel, a full complete man. And the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam in the form of a man is that if an angel comes in his original form to any human being, they may not be able to bear the sight. As we have read in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the angel Jibreel in the cave of Hira, he became scared. Huge figure. Now this angel is coming to give glad tidings to Maryam. And if she becomes scared now, you can imagine the problem afterwards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel in the form of a human being. And we also know from authentic traditions recorded by Imam Bukhari also, that angel Jibreel alayhi salam came on a few occasions in the form of a man resembling one sahabi by the name of Dihya Kalbi. Hazrat Dihya Kalbi. So he came in that form. She said, verily I seek refuge with the most beneficent Allah from you if you do fear Allah. Maryam alayhi salam was a very pure and chaste woman, very pious, very, very pious person. And from the time she was placed in the service of Masjid al-Aqsa, the room that was built was separate from where the people will normally pass so no one can see her. Zakariya alayhi salam will leave her in the room, no one will be able to enter the room. So as a pious and righteous woman, she never had any association or contact with any person who was a ghair mahram. She never had that type of contact. Now, here was the situation. In a corner of her room, she's already in her room. In a corner of the room, the eastern direction, she goes there to seclude herself. And she draws a curtain to screen her from the other portion of the room. Now, subhanallah, Behind the screen where she is secluded, there she sees a man. How that man reaches there? She immediately becomes scared. So when she becomes scared, she said, I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah from you. Who are you? What are you doing here? Now, if you see a person, the natural reaction to a woman when she is in seclusion and she sees a man is that, what is this person doing here? Does he have a bad intention? So she says, if you fear Allah, do not come close to me. She doesn't recognize, she doesn't know the angel comes in the form of a man. So she says, I seek refuge in Allah the most beneficent. If you fear Allah, then if you fear Allah, you will not come with that bad intention to me. That is what it means. So once she is entrusting herself to Allah, but at the same time, she's reminding that person, at least if you have a little bit of taqwa in your heart, you will know that the intention with which you came, it's wrong. You know, like sometimes a person may do you something and you tell the person, if you are a believer, you would not do this. So it's the same. If you have taqwa, then you will not do that. The angel, according to the riwayat, when he heard the name of Allah, he stepped backwards. He went and he understood the situation Maryam was in. So he said to her, I am only a messenger from your Lord. I am an angel. I am only a messenger from Allah to announce to you the gift of a righteous son. It makes it even more scared now. I am not married. Now I'm going to have a son. So she says, really, really astonished at that information. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? No, am I unchaste? I am not unchaste that I will have a relationship with men before I marry. So I am not married. No man has touched me. I do not have an unlawful and illegal relationship. So how can I have a son? The angel said, so it will be. Your Lord said, that is easy for me. Yani Allah. Allah is saying, that is easy for him. And we wish, and the purpose of this is, we wish to appoint him as a sign to mankind and a mercy from us, from Allah. And it is a matter already decreed by Allah. That is already decreed. So there is no going back on that. That is fixed already. So in other words, whether you can understand how it will happen or not, it is going to happen. That is the decree of Allah. Allah says he will be a sign to mankind, and Isa alayhi salam was indeed a great sign to mankind. And also it was a mercy from Allah to that family. It goes straight back to the mother of Maryam, when she really wanted a son, but Allah gave her someone who was better than that son which was in her mind. He gave her Maryam, and from Maryam Allah blessed her with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's mentioned in verse 22. So she conceived him. She conceived him. How did she conceive him? The angel blew in her collar. He blew in her collar. He just, you know how you blew something? He just blew in the collar of her. She had on her clothing, and that was it. And that's how she conceived, with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when she realized that she had conceived, she became very scared of what the people will say. And it really turned out that the people started to use bad remarks against her. So because of the fact that she was very scared, she comes from a pious family. Subhanallah. Family of Imran. Family of Nabuwat. That lineage goes straight back to Suleiman alayhi salam, goes back to Dawood alayhi salam. Uncle is Zakaria alayhi salam. Cousin is Yahya alayhi salam. So she goes away from that place she was in. She goes away. And where she goes away, it says, and she withdrew from with him to a far place. Him meaning with that baby which was in her womb. She withdrew with him to a far place. That is Bethlehem Valley, about 4 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. She was in Jerusalem where the Masjid al-Aqsa was situated. That is where she was. And then over a period of time, the pains of childbirth started to come over her. It started to come. Unlike other people, it was a miraculous birth. So the growth of Isa alayhi salam was a miraculous growth. Her pregnancy with Isa alayhi salam was miraculous. It moved faster than ordinary people. And the delivery also, which was normal, obviously there were pains. However, the growth of Isa alayhi salam was ajeeb. According to the commentary in the Holy Quran in Surah Ali Imran, it states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we grew her with a beautiful growth. She continued to grow up as a child, as a woman, Nabatan Hassana, a beautiful growth, a wonderful growth. Commentators have mentioned that when it will take a normal girl 1 month, 2 months to reach a certain stage, it will take her 1 day. It's a miraculous thing. Everything is in the hands of Allah. His family was blessed by Allah from the very beginning. So she started to experience the pains of childbirth. And in that pain, she continued to move about where she was. And it drove her to the trunk of a dead palm. So while moving to and from, she went straight to the trunk, a dead tree in other words, and she sat beneath it. And she started to say, "Would that I had died before this and had been forgotten and out of sight." What she was worried about, she was really worried about the remarks that people and her own family, that bad name that the family will carry. How can she live with this name? How can the people understand this birth? So this is why she looks at two things: the stain, the tarnish on her name, the tarnish on her family name on one side. How can she bear to respond? What can she tell the people when they say, "Where did this child come from?" She looks at it, and looks at it as a lifelong, it's a life that is going to be filled with taunts. And she looks at the other side, to die and be forgotten. She says, "I wish I could die and don't go through this that will come up." This is a pain. This is a normal pain of childbirth. That is not what she was worried about. She was worried about when she takes this child and carry this child at home, what is going to happen there? What is going to happen there? She couldn't bring herself to having answers for the questions the people may ask her. She says, "Rabbi, O Allah, I wish I had died before this thing has happened. And then I will be forgotten and no one will be able to know me. Nobody will recognize me. I will just be someone forgotten." So it was at that point in time, she had delivered. She gave birth to the baby at the trunk of the tree, the dead palm tree, away from everyone. Mind you, there was no husband in the picture. You know, as is narrated normally, she was already married to Joseph. No, there was a Joseph. Islamic literature speaks about Yusuf al-Najjar. Al-Najjar means a carpenter. But that came long afterwards, after the miraculous birth took place. He was not married as yet. She was not married as yet. Okay? And she was chosen by Allah to be a very righteous and pious woman, which we will see later on. But at that time, she gave birth right there, away from the room that she normally used to stay, open place in Bethlehem. And while she was still roaming with pain and moving and groaning with pain, she was hungry. She was thirsty. So as it states here, then the babe Isa alayhi salam or Jibreel alayhi salam cried unto her. There is a difference of opinion among the scholars. The Quran says, فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا, that someone called out to her from below her, meaning that where she sat, from right there someone called. Some scholars says it is Isa alayhi salam, but the preferred view, it is Jibreel alayhi salam. The same voice that she heard is the same voice that she heard again, Jibreel alayhi salam. He called out to her, cried out to her from below her, meaning that right where she was sitting there, saying, grieve not, do not grieve. Your Lord has provided a water stream under you. You have water to drink. And then what? And shake the trunk of the date palm towards you. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon you. You shake the tree, the dates will fall. Allah has produced a spring from the ground. Drink from the spring. It's a beautiful lesson here that many of the Mufassirin have taken out. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already providing a stream, okay, a spring, water there, it wasn't there before. With respect to food, he could have allowed the dates to fall down one by one. Why did she, in that state, having now delivered, weak, groaning with pain, have to hold a date palm tree trunk and shake it? Do you know, can anyone hold a coconut tree and shake it and let the coconuts fall? No. A date palm trunk, it's much thicker than that. It's strong. It's very, very strong. Very strong. Very difficult for such trees like the date palm trees to be uprooted in the worst hurricanes and storms. It's not easy. Very strong. Allah says, shake it. When you shake it, then you will see the dates falling. What was the hikmat and the wisdom? The spring was there already. Here is it. Allah caused you to give birth without being married. What's a few dates to fall? Subhanallah. We follow? The lesson in that was a lesson to her and all others, that when it comes to the matter of risk and sustenance, a person should employ such means that he becomes a cause to get that sustenance also. So you develop and you bring about means to get your sustenance. So here is it. Yes, there are dates, but up there, you should do something to get that sustenance to you. You shake it so that it will come down to you. And that is what she did, and the dates fell. And the other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing everything for Maryam. And the provision that came to Maryam alayhi salam did not start now, before she came out here in Bethlehem. From a very, when she was even at a very young age, that risk was provided. Here is a time that she needs a lot of, let's say, strength in her body. And she needs that which will strengthen her baby also. And of all the fruits, the apples and the pomegranates and all the things out there and the honey, Allah gave her the best food, the dates. Dates, it is the best food. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi, whosoever has dates in his house will never starve, shall never starve. It is a complete food. It's a complete, filled with a lot of nutrients in it. It's packed, it's filled. The Arabs, subhanallah, when the Sahabas had to go out on the field to meet thousands of people, all they had as their ration was the ration was dates. Dates and water. 3 dates. 1 date a day. When the Sahabi narrated that, recorded by Imam Bukhari, some of the Tabi'in said, How did you people manage with 1 date per day? He said, subhanallah, we appreciated that because there were days we didn't get even one. So getting one was at least good. So that is something which Allah provided for her. Okay? So that itself is a fadilat of the date. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided the date among all other things as a special meal for his devoted servant, Maryam alayhi salam. No, I haven't
Probably it might come up in future. You know, we'll read more about it.
So eat and drink and be glad, be happy. Rejoice with these favors of Allah.
Hear what Allah says, and if you see any human being, don't speak to them.
The first thing they will want to ask you, where did you get this child from? They will want to ask you, when did you become married? Who's the father of this child? All these questions. Those are not things that Maryam alayhi salam could bear to listen now. And to even entertain such questions by speaking. So Allah says to her, so eat and drink and be happy, be glad. And if you see any human being, say, verily I have vowed a fast unto the most beneficent Allah. In other words, you say to them, I have promised Allah that I will fast, and the way of their fasting was not to speak to anyone, as we have seen in the case of Zakariya alayhi salam. So I shall not speak to any human being this day. Today I am fasting, I will not speak to anybody. So in that way, she will avoid any type of confrontation with people, and at least Allah himself, at the appointed time, will remove a stain from her name. Allah has decreed everything already. Every single thing has been decreed by Allah. What did it say in the beginning? That this child will be a sign from Allah, a dalil from Allah, an argument from Allah, that Allah exists, that Allah is the one who creates, Allah is the one who has total control. He is a sign from Allah. So she ought not to speak to anyone. That is the directive from Allah. Then she brought him, that is the baby, to her people, carrying him. They said, O Maryam, Mary, indeed you have brought a thing. Fariya, you have come with a fariya, an unheard mighty thing, a grave thing you have come with. That is what it means. You have come with a grave thing. It's not a light thing. You have come with this baby that you are bringing here now. Subhanallah. Everyone knows that you are not married. What have you come with? They continue to say, O sister of Harun, O sister of Harun, meaning one who is like a sister to Aaron. But Harun, according to many commentators, is not that Harun who was the brother of Musa alayhi salam, but he was another pious man who lived at the time of Maryam alayhi salam, who was a righteous man. And you know, normally when you are righteous, people associate the effects of that righteousness to your family members also, isn't that so? Say, are you not the brother of so-and-so? Are you not the sister of so-and-so? Are you not the uncle or the nephew of so-and-so? You know, connected it back to someone who is very respectable and noble, who might be an alim or a scholar from the family. So Aaron was like that. O sister of Aaron, your father, her father was Imran, pious man. He was the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, and he was the Imam during the time of Zakariya alayhi salam. So you could understand the status of his taqwa and piety, Imran. And when it speaks about Ali Imran in the Quran, that is the Imran that is being spoken about. Ali Imran, the family of Imran, that Imran was the father of who? Maryam alayhi salam. Imran. So they said, your father was not a man who used to commit adultery, nor your mother was an unchaste woman. Hanna was her name. Hanna. Then she pointed to him. She can't answer, subhanallah. She's in a state hearing all these remarks. And you know, when family want to come down on you, it's all of them together, and all of them are there, she doesn't know what to say. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, the Quran says, all she did was point to the baby. In other words, ask him, don't ask me. And she did it. Then she pointed to him, they said, كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا, how can we speak to one who is a child in the cradle? This baby's in the cradle, you want us to speak to him? Now, this is even worse now. Then you brought a child here, now you're telling us to speak to this baby. But
Allah put the voice in his tongue, on his tongue. And Isa alayhi salam spoke from the cradle right there. He, Isa alayhi salam, said, "Verily, I am a slave of Allah." Subhanallah. This little baby, they were really, really amazed at what was happening. "I am a slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wheresoever I be, and has enjoined on me salat, prayer, and zakat as long as I live. And he has made me dutiful to my mother and made me not arrogant and unblessed. So peace be upon me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive." That was the birth of Isa alayhi salam, what occurred with Maryam and her son. On 236, a short commentary is given on those passages that were written there. It states, "This is the second incident mentioned in the surah which speaks about the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salam, the great prophet and messenger of Allah. It is one which is more marvelous and amazing than the birth of Yahya alayhi salam, the previous incident, as it shows that Maryam alayhi salam gave birth to Isa without having been touched by a man. So it is a greater miracle. At least Zakaria was married. He had a wife. And they continued to live together. So with the birth of Yahya alayhi salam, if anyone didn't want to believe it's a miracle, at least, you know, I mean, that's not any big thing then, because they were married. You know, Zakaria and his wife, they were married. The miracle that occurred there is that when Isha, the wife of Zakaria, could not conceive because she was barren, Allah made her conceive. Okay, but they were married. The case with Maryam alayhi salam, she was never married. She was never married. So straight, clear-cut, miraculous birth. Nothing to do with any marriage. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked to remind the people of this spectacular event, which indicates that the great power and strength of Allah, Allah is all powerful over every single thing. Isa alayhi salam is one of the greatest prophets who was sent to the Bani Israel. And just as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent as the last prophet, Isa alayhi salam was sent as the last of the Israelite prophets. No other Israelite prophet after him. He was the Khatamul Anbiya il Bani Israel. You understand? The seal of the prophets of the Bani Israel. There was a whole generation of prophets of the Israelites. One after the other, one after the other. No one to come after him to the Israelis. And after him was the seal of all prophets from the time of Adam coming down. And that was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is the unanimous agreement of all scholars that there was no prophet between Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a time span of approximately 570 years. There would have been righteous men. There would have people who went in the cause of religion, invited people who were persecuted, who were righteous, who probably would have performed miracles. But to be a Nabi or Rasul between Isa and Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, no Nabi. This is the Jumhur opinion of the Jumhur. One of the distinctive attributes of Isa alayhi salam was that while Musa alayhi salam achieved the status of imamat and leadership of the Bani Israel, Isa alayhi salam was honored to be their reformer, subhanallah. He had a special position. So when Allah wanted the Israelites to come out of the bondage of Fir'aun, who did he send? Musa alayhi salam. When he wanted to destroy Fir'aun, who did he send? Musa alayhi salam. When he wanted to give them the permanent and everlasting teachings, he sent Musa alayhi salam. When he wanted to carry them to the promised land, which they were deprived from after Yaqub alayhi salam, he sent Musa alayhi salam. Musa led the people out of Egypt to the promised land, which was Syria. Musa was sent as that. Jalilul Qadr, great Nabi of Allah. In fact, when Isa alayhi salam came, he had to abide by those teachings of Musa alayhi salam. This is the position. This is what he was, the Imam of the Bani Israel. Abraham was not the Imam of the Bani Israel. He was not even an Israelite. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا. The Quran says, he was not a Jew and he was not a Christian. He was one who stuck to the straight path and he was a believer in Allah. One who submitted his will. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was the father of nations but not an Israelite prophet. Israelite was not even, it did not even exist at that time. Okay? This is why, speaking about Isa alayhi salam and his position among the Israelite prophets, this is why after the revelation of the Torah, the greatest book which was given for the guidance and salvation of who? Mankind? No. Israelites. Huh? Was that of the Injil. The book that was given for their guidance, that is the scripture given to Isa alayhi salam. In reality, the Injil was sent as a completion of the Torah, since it corrected the wrongs that were invented after the demise of Musa alayhi salam and re-established the true path of guidance which was preached in the Torah. There is a great wisdom in the sequence of these prophets. From the time Musa alayhi salam left the world, it started to twist and turn the teachings. They changed the law of fasting from 30 days to 40 days. They adjusted different laws. They adjusted and removed laws of taharat. They made certain haram things halal for themselves. And they continued to reject certain ayats of Allah. These people, look at the hikmat, can only and would be able only to accept the final prophet and the final scripture if one from among their own people is to tell them you went wrong. You understand that? Let's say you have a family problem. Who you will listen to, pastor, to? One of your own members. An outsider who is a stranger. Let's look at it. People say, oh, you're a stranger. Where are you coming from? You don't know us. You don't know what goes on among us. But someone who you respect, someone who is from among you, your uncle, a respected uncle or grandfather or something, he sits to everybody and speaks. So therefore, Allah wanted to correct them through a person who is directly from among them. An Israelite prophet. One who knew the Torah by heart and who also received a scripture in their line to correct them. The Prophet ﷺ did not come to revive the teachings of Musa. He came to establish the true and everlasting teachings of Allah on the face of the earth. Whether Musa got it, whether Ibrahim ﷺ got it, whether Dawud ﷺ got it, it was to establish it. They would have gotten laws that suited their times and their culture and their custom. But the thing that will be left everlasting as the guidance for the whole mankind from Adam alayhi salam until the last man, it is Islam, it is the Holy Quran, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But that can only come if they correct their own faults first. Let them acknowledge what they did wrong in the Torah. Let them acknowledge that really they have gone against the teachings of their prophet Musa. Let them acknowledge. Let them see where they went wrong. Allah sent Isa to do that. And so, by the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, since their teachings were adjusted, those who had purity in their hearts immediately recognized and accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because those things were sorted out already through Isa alaihi salam. That's the hikmah, that's the reason. In this respect, in reality, the Injil was sent as a completion of the Torah, since it corrected the wrongs that were invented after the demise of Musa alayhi salam and re-established the true path of guidance which was preached in the Torah. So Allah did give the Sirat Mustaqim in the Torah to the people, but they had to recognize what they did wrong and they had to recognize where they went wrong. It is through the revelation of the Injil, which is known as the Gospel and not the New Testament. Injil doesn't mean New Testament.
The translation of Injil, the closest is the Gospel, because Isa alayhi salam received the Gospel. And as you know very well, the New Testament that is known as the Bible is a compilation of many books written by many authors who lived far away from the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They will write an eyewitness account. They will write some historical facts. They will write what he said, what other people said. This does not represent the revelation which came to Isa alayhi salam from Allah. And so too, what we know as the Old Testament to be the Torah, that's not the Torah. The Torah is something different from that. The Torah is not that. Again, they, the scholars of the Bible, at their times, they divided the section that spoke about those prophets before Isa and from Isa alayhi salam onwards. And that is how they came up with the Old Testament and the New Testament. But these things do not represent the revelation that came from Allah to the Anbiya's of the past, including Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, one or two verses might be there, and God said and He revealed, etc., etc. But really, you can't, you know, one can testify to the fact that this is indeed the Injil, or the Torah which came to Musa alayhi salam, and the Injil which came to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. It is through the revelation of the Injil that the Israelites were able to return to the right path. Somebody from among them, he's quarreling with them, disputing with them, he's debating. And we can see the reason and the hikmat in that. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, what they said, we're not going to listen to any Ismailite prophet. They had that ta'asub. They had that type of that racial discrimination in their hearts. We are better than everybody. We are the best people on the face of the earth, which they still believe. So they cannot accept the Ismailite prophet. So who will you take correction from? An Israelite prophet. So you take it from Isa alayhi salam first. So it is through the revelation of the Injil that the Israelites were able to return to the right path and make amends for their neglect of the teachings of the Torah. It also corrected the fabrications which were made in the religion of Allah as preached by Musa alayhi salam. So whatever they put in or took out, Isa alayhi salam corrected them, and he preached to them the correcting. Okay? While highlighting the life of this great messenger, what we ought to understand also is that while we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is Sayyid al-Anbiya, he is the leader of all the prophets, and we love him and we follow him, may our lives be sacrificed for his cause, it does not mean that we lower the status of any Nabi. Very important point. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will speak with utmost respect and love about the other Anbiya's. Sometimes he will say the best person is Yusuf bin Yaqub alayhi salam. He will speak highly about Isa alayhi salam, his brother Isa. So us being Muslim, no way tells us we should look down upon them and they are nothing. They were mighty messengers, great apostles, sent by Allah. Very, very great apostles. We should appreciate them and love them also. So while highlighting the life of this messenger, great messenger, the Quran has given a great amount of information regarding him and has also given a detailed explanation about his birth. In this respect, mention has been made about him in 13 surahs of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah. Not one and two, 13 surahs and chapters with different names. In 26 places, he has been mentioned with the name Isa. In 23 places, he has been mentioned with the name the son of Maryam. That is already 49. In 11 places, he has been mentioned with the name Masih, Messiah. And in one place, he is mentioned with the name Abdullah, servant of Allah. Look at the extent Allah has gone to mention about Isa alayhi salam. These have been mentioned in surahs Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-Tawbah,
مريم المؤمنون الأحزاب الشورى الزخرف الحديد and الصف. These are the 13 surahs which has the mention of Isa alayhi salam. This alone goes to show us the greatness of this Nabi of Allah, Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. According to the tariq, the history of Hafiz ibn Kathir, Tariq ibn Kathir, the name of the book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, it is stated that there was a very righteous and pious servant of Allah at the time of Zakariya alayhi salam, whose name was Imran. Due to his great piety and worship, he was appointed as the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa. According to the reliable scholars of history and biography, the lineage of Imran goes straight back to Dawood alayhi salam. Along with Imran, his wife was also a very righteous and devoted servant of Allah who was most desirous of having a child. That is Hanna. They were married. She didn't have a child at that time. Hanna. Hanna was her name. With this wish, she continued to supplicate to Allah in great humility to bestow to her family a child who shall be the light of their eyes and the happiness of their hearts. Her supplications were then accepted by Allah, and after a few days, the signs of pregnancy became apparent to her. Seeing this, she became extremely happy and overjoyed and made an oath to Allah that she would dedicate this expected child to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa as a form of gratitude to him, subhanallah. Look at what is in the mind, and this is how a believer thinks. Oh Allah, out of your kindness you have given something to me. Let me also do something to show you that I am extremely grateful for that which you have given to me. And she prayed and she prayed. So she saw the signs. She said, Oh Allah, I have made an oath to you that whatever is in my womb, I am going to dedicate that to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. It was the custom of the people at that time that they would, you know, dedicate their children, and some of them will be totally dedicated to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa by making i'tikaf in Masjid al-Aqsa, worshipping, establishing worship, staying there. The male folks, night and day, they will stay there. They will do the ibadat of Allah. They will look after it. This was a high form of ibadat among those people at that time. It is also related that it was along this same time when she began to see signs of pregnancy that Imran, the husband of Hanna, passed away. Hanna was the name of the wife. And as soon as she started to see signs, it so happened that he passed away at that time, Imran. This is recorded in Fathul Bari, Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani, the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari. After some time, when the term of gestation had come to an end and delivery had taken place, Hanna saw that she had given birth to a girl. In Surah Al-Imran, the incident is there. Inni navartu lakama fi batni muharraran. Okay? The ayats, it goes in this manner. That, Oh Allah, whatever is in my womb, I am dedicating this child muharrar for your service. Open for your service, meaning for Masjid al-Aqsa. What was in her mind? That she was going to have a son, and then the son will be a Qadim of Masjid al-Aqsa. This is what was in her mind, that she will inshallah have a boy child, and then the boy child will be there, because normally women don't go and look after masjid, make i'tikaf in masjid, etc. So this is what she was, you know, she was thinking. But when she saw that she had delivered a child, she did not become depressed or sad, but she was astonished now. How can she fulfill this oath that she took? This promise which she made to Allah. How can she fulfill this promise? It's a girl child and not a boy child. So she said, Rabbi wada'tuha untha wa Allah. Look, it's a girl child I've given birth to. The Quran says, Allah knows who you have given birth to. He has decreed that. He has decreed that. So at that moment, knowing that she had made an oath to Allah to dedicate her expected child to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa, she became surprised, since she was wondering how she could fulfill that oath, seeing that the child was not a boy. You have? Okay. So she became surprised because it was not a boy. And in this state cried out to Allah saying that she had given birth to a girl. The ayats were revealed to her, consoling her. So it states that Allah consoled her and gave her the glad tidings that He has accepted this girl for His cause. And He also mentioned to her that this girl child that you have given birth to is far better than the boy child you had in your mind. But she wanted to have a boy child. But the decree was this person will be Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. So this is why Allah says, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. There is no male who can be like this girl that you give birth to. Subhanallah. Hannah then placed the name of her daughter as Maryam. That's her real name, not Mary, not Maria. The Quran does not change names of Anbiya's and people. The Quran retains. Maryam is not Arabic. Maryam is not Arabic. That's the language of those people, the Syrianic language, or the Syriac language. Musa, as I always mention, Musa, Isa, they are not Arabic words. Whatever names existed for these prophets, and they were called by their own people, this is exactly the same names Allah has used in the Quran. Allah did not make it into Arabic or not. This exact names, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, these are not Arabic words. These are Hebrew language, Aramaic language, different language of the people at that time. This is from their language, not Arabic. That is their correct names. What the other people have done is translated and Latinized and retranslated their names, and it went through a series of things to arrive at the names they have today. But if you meet these people on the day of judgment and you call them by these, they would know who you are speaking about. They have never heard those names. So, Maryam means a servant, because she was going to be the Khadim of Masjid al-Aqsa. So Maryam means servant in the Syrian language. When Maryam alayhi salam reached the age of understanding, the time came when she must be entrusted to the care of Masjid al-Aqsa as a fulfillment of the oath of the mother. Now the mother recognized she has to fulfill the promise. And she said to Allah, I am going to dedicate this child to the service of Masjid al-Aqsa. But the child is still growing up, the child needs the mother. So at that time she cannot go. But when she became of age, when she could now fulfill that, Hannah, her mother, was now ready to entrust her over for that purpose. Okay? In doing so, Maryam had to be placed in the hands of a caretaker who would be her legal guardian at the mosque. Someone will overlook her. Someone who will take care of her while she's at the Masjid al-Aqsa. Many from among those who were in the service of Masjid al-Aqsa stretched their hands for this sacred task. However, none was seen as being more suitable for this amanat and trust than Zakariya alayhi salam, who was the husband of Isha, the aunt of Maryam. Okay? So as I said, it was the custom of the people in those days that they used to be called the Mujawir. Mujawir means mu'takif, those who are making i'tikaf full time in the masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa. Always there in ibadat, the dhikr of Allah. They never left it. So there were people. So many people now, when they heard that Maryam was coming, she was a young girl, you know, her father had passed away already. Someone will have to, you know, if the father was alive, then the father was the imam of the masjid. He was the best person. He's not there. So the other one wanted to take that opportunity. To what? To look over her, to take care of her. Because she came from a pious and righteous family. So Zakariya was among the Mujawir. Zakariya was from among the Mu'takifin of the masjid. And he was connected to Maryam because he was married to the aunt of Maryam, Isha, who was the what? The mother of Yahya alayhi salam. Afterwards Yahya alayhi salam came, not at this time. Isha was the sister of Hannah, who was the mother of Maryam, and Isha was the mother of Yahya alayhi salam. Okay? As such,
That's with respect to who? Zachariah. Such he, Zachariah, expressed his desire to be the caretaker of Maryam. Seeing that this was a high and noble cause, many of the other servants of Masjid al-Aqsa also expressed their desire to be her caretaker and were not willing to lose that opportunity. Subhanallah. All of them wanted to share part of that honor, to be her guardian, to look after her, to look after her welfare, etc. At the end, well, if everyone wants to do it, there will start to be disputes. And it happened. Little, I should be it, and I should be it, and it went on like that. At the end, in order to be fair and just to everyone, lots had to be drawn to select the caretaker of Maryam. Put all their names on pens, and then they had, you know, which one came up, they had a system of drawing lots. According to some traditions, lots were drawn three times, and on each occasion, the name of Zachariah alayhi salam was chosen. Subhanallah. That was the decree of Allah. Why? Zachariah was a Nabi of Allah. Who can be more suitable than him to fulfill this duty? And that was his wife's niece also. In this manner, Zachariah alayhi salam became her official caretaker and guardian. In order that Maryam may fulfill her services at the Masjid al-Aqsa, Zachariah alayhi salam built a small room close to the masjid in an area which was not frequented by people. So away from where the people will normally pass, he built that room. She stayed in this room during the day, observing her acts of worship, and will be carried to her aunt's place at night, where she will spend the night, as recorded in the famous tafsir of Ruh al-Ma'ani. So during the day, she was dedicated in the service of Allah at Masjid al-Aqsa. So during the day, she will be mashghul in the ibadat of Allah. And at night, he will not leave her alone to sleep. Zachariah will take her to her aunt's place, who was his wife, Isha, and she will pass the night. Then the other day, he will bring her again. Note, very important note here. Although some scholars have cited Isha, the wife of Zachariah, as being the sister of Maryam, in many books you will, in fact, that is coming from a tradition also, which when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Yahya and Isa alayhi salam on the night of Miraj, and he came down, he said he met both of them, who were cousins to each other. And they became cousins, and it is mentioned by Hafiz ibn Kathir that Isha was the sister of Maryam. That's how they are going to become cousins. That in fact is recorded by Hafiz ibn Kathir in his tafsir as the opinion of the Jumhur, the majority of scholars. However, investigations into that shows otherwise. One, because of the fact that it is clearly recorded in many, many traditions and otherwise historical facts that Hannah did not have any other children besides Maryam. So Maryam did not have a sister. Maryam did not have a sister. Okay? Now, such language is commonly used in the Arabic and by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just to show a type of connection, not literally the real connection. In other words, the incident when he went to Taif and the people stoned him until they made him unconscious, when the person took him, Adas, the slave of the enemies, Shaiba, Adas was the name, he was a Christian, and after he gave him some dates and water to regain consciousness, the Prophet asked him, he said, "Which city do you belong to?" He said, "Well, I belong to the city of Nineveh." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh, you belong to the city of my brother." So Adas said, who was a Christian, said, "Who is your brother?" He said, "Yunus bin Matta, Yunus, Jonah, the son of Matthew. He's my brother." But no one can take it to mean that that was a literal brother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? In Bukhari it is mentioned, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he came home at the house of Fatima and Ali. Who was Ali to the Prophet? His cousin. Ali's father was Abu Talib. Okay? And the Prophet's father was Abdullah. Abdullah and Abu Talib was two brothers. TK? Two brothers. Now, so therefore they became cousins. Okay? Ali was then married to Fatima, and Fatima was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to meet Fatima to look for Ali, Imam Bukhari mentioned that under the chapter whether a person can sleep in the masjid or not. So when Ali came home and he said, the Prophet came to Fatima, he said, where is the son of your uncle? Aina ibnu ammika? Where is the son of your uncle? But is Ali the son of Fatima's uncle? Then it means Ali is her cousin. The son of your uncle is your cousin. But he was not her cousin. No, he was actually the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is in the Arabic language, you know, like in our language also, you know, somebody comes and you tell your son, say salams to uncle. Okay, now your son will ask you, well, daddy, I never know that he was my uncle. He gives salams, that's out of respect, isn't that so? Meet your brother, he has come, meet him, give salams, etc. Okay, so therefore, this is the way it goes in Arabic, out of respect. So it did not literally mean when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he met Yahya and Isa and they were two cousins, that they were literally two cousins. Because Maryam never had a sister. She didn't have any brothers and sisters. Okay? So this is why, before we become mixed up, I decided to put this note, because if you read other books and you read Hafiz Ibn Kathir book, you will see that he says this is the view of the majority, but it's not really so. Okay? It is otherwise. So although some scholars have cited Isha, the wife of Zakaria, as being the sister of Maryam, many authentic and reliable scholars have indicated that she was the sister of Hannah and not the sister of Maryam. Hence, she is Maryam's aunt. Okay? Isha is Maryam's aunt and not Maryam's sister. This is the view of the following scholars who are known to be extremely reliable, sound, and authentic, and even masters in the field of hadith and seer. Seer is a plural of the word seerah, which means biographies. Not only the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the life history of all the prophets. They are experts in that field. They are, Muhammad bin Ishaq is the one that Imam Bukhari relies a lot for history in his book. Kitab al-Maghazi, the chapter of different battles, etc. Muhammad bin Ishaq is the name he always quotes. Ishaq bin Bishr, Ibn Asakir also, we know his name. Ibn Jarir also, the famous Mufassir. The one from whose book Hafiz Ibn Kathir wrote his entire tafsir. If you read Ibn Kathir, it's like you read Ibn Jarir. Ibn Kathir used Ibn Jarir's book as a book to follow, and he wrote his book, Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Hafiz Ibn Hajar is the most famous commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, in his book called Fathul Bari. This view also refutes the opinion that Isa alayhi salam and Yahya were cousins. In fact, it is Maryam and Yahya who were cousins to each other. We understand? It's because Hannah and Isha, they were two sisters. So the son of Isha, who is Yahya, and the daughter of Hannah, they will be cousins. The above scholars have given detailed explanations of this issue in their respective books. It's not a point that you condemn one or you say one is wrong and right. Everyone, it is based on their investigation they came up with the conclusions, okay? In the way they looked at it, the riwayats and the traditions. Some of them would have relied on Israeli riwayats, as I have explained to you, riwayats coming from the Jews and Christians, and this is how they concluded their point. But this is the accepted and relied upon opinion. While growing up, getting back to the topic, while growing up as a young woman, Maryam remained devoted to the worship of Allah, both at the Masjid al-Aqsa and at the home of her aunt. Her piety and righteousness grew to the extent that it became incomparable among the Israelites, and she became most beloved to Allah, subhanallah. No one could have compared to her in her taqwa, piety, day and night, the ibadat of Allah. Zakaria alayhi salam continued to fulfill his job as a caretaker, and visited her in her room at times to ensure that things were well. However, on many occasions, he would become amazed to see that out of season fresh fruits were to be found in her room. Her room used to be locked. knowing that he did not bring these fruits, nor did anyone enter her room to bring them, he asked surprisingly, "O Maryam, where are these fruits coming from?" It's not the season for apple. Apple is there. Not the season for dates. Dates are there. Not the season for pomegranates. Pomegranates are there. Ya Maryamu, anna laki hadha. Maryam, where are these things? I am not bringing them to you. Your door remains locked wholly. Where are these things coming from? In response, she pleaded, "These are from my Lord, subhanallah." It comes directly from Allah. No human being brings it. Directly from Allah. Allah places these over there for her. "These are from my Lord. Certainly he nourishes whomsoever he wishes, and he has chosen to nourish me, so he will do as he wishes." Recorded in Surah Al-Imran. Recognizing this as a great status of Maryam, then Zakaria realized Maryam is not any person. She is really, really great in the sight of Allah. Look at what miracle is happening today. Recognizing this as a great status of Maryam and seeing the wonders of his Lord, he also prayed for a righteous child, who was Yahya alayhi salam. That was the occasion when he made dua to Allah. When he saw, "Oh Allah," he made dua. It's recorded, "Oh Allah, when you can bring fruits that are not in season to Maryam, certainly you can give me a child when we are not capable of having a child." And when he begged for the child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the glad tidings that he will have the child. In this manner, Maryam alayhi salam continued to live a pure and righteous life and continued to dedicate herself to the worship of Allah in fulfilling her task at the Masjid al-Aqsa. Why was she placed there? To fulfill the oath that her mother had taken. The mother promised Allah, and so Maryam was placed and entrusted in that. Her purity and piety, sincerity and devotion, virtue and righteousness excelled in every manner, to the extent that the angels were sent by Allah to announce to her, saying, "O Maryam, verily Allah has chosen you, purified you, and chosen you above the women of the world." That was a great status. We'll continue, inshallah, on the next page next week. But that was a very, very great status that the angels were sent to announce that to Maryam. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Assalamu alaikum.